Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
I think Blaine has a good rapport with the tight ends. I think it's a pretty darn good group of tight ends.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Today we'll talk to Steve about the 49ers' 33-21 loss to the Cardinals and the upcoming game against the Buffalo Bills. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Well, Steve, another tough loss for the 49ers on Thursday. Seems like a long time ago as we talk about it here on Tuesday, and you know, a lot to think about going into the Bills game, and we'll get to that. But you know, let's touch on the game against the Cardinals. And you know, for me, first and foremost, it starts with the fact that the 49ers are not stopping the run. I mean, every game there's a running back that's rushing for over 100 yards. That's four straight games. This time it was David Johnson with 157. And I just think, you know, the Niners are getting behind the eight ball because the other team is chewing up yardage on the ground. I mean, do you look at that as being, you know, a big issue right now?
I think so. To just what you said, they're giving up a lot of rushing yards and they're not getting a whole lot of rushing yards. And the other teams are possessing the ball and controlling the clock and basically controlling the game.
Yeah, and this team right now, you know, it's definitely losing some confidence. It's just that you hear some of the statements. I mean, the center, Daniel Kilgore, said about being 1-4 that they're going down this path again. It's kind of the uh-oh, you know, looking back to last year. And he said, you know, it sucks. That's the vibe. And that's tough for everybody. And right now you've got a situation where they're not even sure about who the starting quarterback is going to be. So, you know, how do you even get the locker room back if you're Chip Kelly?
I don't know if I really want to give my real answer. it is difficult. You know, it's hard on, obviously it's hard on the whole team. To your quote from Kilgore, they're going down this road again. Then I'm watching the news last night, and they're talking about they've restructured Cap's contract, and you know, this could be the beginning of the end. But honestly, why is he still here? You know, I think that's part of the locker room, you know, issue. That it's a separated team. I don't know if Blaine can be himself. You know, because Cap is still here. It was Cap's team. Cap was a starter. He basically decided to become a different person. You know, he went from not talking to anybody to, you know, watch them the other night, come out of the locker room, stopped and said hello to pretty much everybody on his path out of the locker room to his car. So he's a different personality. I'm sure there's guys in the locker room that wish he was playing. I'm sure there are guys that, you know, hope to keep Blaine in there. So I'm not blaming it all on that, but I'm making that point because I think that's part of it. Honestly, I don't think they're that great of a team, and we kind of knew that coming in.
Yeah.
We were worried about the defense, and it's holding true. I mean, they played really well in the first game. The Rams weren't what they are now in game one. I mean, the quarterback takes all the blame and all the glory, but it's way more than blame, honestly.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt about that. But I mean, it is a big decision here. And you mentioned the restructuring of the contract. If that, you know, if that's finalized and they don't have to worry about paying Kaepernick $14.5 million if he gets hurt, right, you know, now you're free to make the decision. And it is tough. I mean, on my side of it, I'm looking at it like, I don't know which Kaepernick we're going to get. I mean, the one from, you know, the last couple of years, obviously, that's not going to be an improvement. But do you think that the Niners have had enough time here looking at Gabbert? I mean, you know, the five games, he's been wildly inconsistent. Let's put it that way. I mean,
yeah. At
times there, you know, Steve, you know, you and I have talked about it where he's zipping balls in there. You see the arm, you see the athleticism. But then there are other times where he's just missed open receivers by a lot, especially this game against Arizona. He had, you know, pretty much an easy touchdown to Streeter, and he way overthrew Celek. And then it just, you know, you shake your head and you don't know what to do.
Yeah. Part of it, obviously, part of it is Blaine. There's no question. The other part of it is that I don't think the receivers are very consistent. And we've talked about this. I don't think they're that great. Curley seems to be the most consistent one, but they're all getting open at certain times, but the key to me seems to be that on that third down and six or seven or a down where you have to keep the chains moving, they can't get open. I mean,
no.
They're smaller in stature people, and they just get manhandled in those kind of third and medium downs, it seems like. You know, when Blaine needs someone open, they're not necessarily open, and then he's taken, seven sacks the other night for minus, I think it was 56, you know. So that hurts, and then yes, he's got some open people, and he's missing them, throwing the, either rushing it or throwing the wrong type of ball. You know, if he could have just put a little bit of air on that one the other night instead of trying to zip it, you know, might be a different result. But I think that, like you said, there's just a lot of inconsistencies, and some of it's playing, some of it's the receivers, some of it's the offense. They just can't seem to find a some sort of a rhythm. You know, I'm as a quarterback, I'm not sure. Obviously, I'm not playing in the offense. Thank goodness.
Taking those seven sacks, yeah.
I just don't know how you. I mean, I guess there's a way to find a rhythm in it, but I'm not sure. I don't know, honestly. I guess is what I'm trying to say. You know, to me, when you were, for me personally, when I was struggling, you know, maybe to find some rhythm, find some timing. I was like, okay, give me some sort of a play action pass, you know, five steps and a hitch, you know, because the rhythm of the drop back and the rhythm of that play action was something to me that was comforting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, okay, five steps, hitch up, make the throw. Okay, that's the rhythm that I'm looking for, you know, to try and replicate.
Yeah, I mean, I would equate it to basketball. I mean, you get your shot going, you know, you have some rhythm going, you see the ball go through the basket, you make some completions, same kind of thing. I mean, and you're right. I mean, other than Jeremy Curley, who seems to have a good rapport right now with Gabbard. I mean, he had eight catches in that game on Thursday. The other guys, I mean, yeah, Chip Kelly's saying, oh, we need to get more of a contribution from the other receivers. Well, how do you do that? I mean, you can't really force it, right? I mean, you say, oh, yeah, we want to get Torrey Smith involved. If he's not open, I mean, how are you doing that?
Yeah. You can't force it. It has to happen. And yes, you try and target them with certain plays that lead to, you know, that are beneficial to their skill set, and try and get them the ball. And then you know, one of the other parts that I didn't even mention about the inconsistency is that, okay, we get a guy open, we get the ball to him, and he drops it.
Yeah, that's happened too. Yeah.
So I mean, so you put all those together, you know, and then all of a sudden you're 5 for 10 instead of 6 or 7 for 10.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're I don't know. I can't see the. I just never saw them get in that rhythm the other night where, okay, you know, 1st and 10, rush the ball for 4, you know, 2nd and 6, you know, a little play action and okay, now it's 3rd and 1 or 2, maybe 3, and we can do either now. We can throw it or we can run it and get the first down and then keep those keep the chains moving or even the, you know, when you're in a really good rhythm, then you're going, you know, throw, you know, 1st and 10, throw, okay, 1st and 10 again, throw, okay, maybe 2nd and 3, you know, okay, now you can do a lot of different things. But, you know, okay, again, for, you know, whatever you do on 2nd and 3, 1st down, okay, and, you know, that, then you're taking big chunks and moving the ball.
Yeah.
And I didn't see that necessarily the other night not even much. Well, the Carolina game, there was some of that where they were really, you know, getting big chunks of yards, but not so much the other night.
What about the body language of a receiver like Torrey Smith? Because, I mean, he's a veteran guy. He knows better. And I think we talked about this last year. I mean, he shows some emotion on the field when it's not a good pass or he's not being looked at or, you know, targeted. And, you know, I really think that hurts. I mean, and if you say anything publicly, that also hurts the team. You know, you're kind of ripping on your quarterback. I mean, is there an adjustment that needs to be made there by him? I mean, he must realize it, that, you know, every camera is on you out there and you can't, you know, act the way he acts at times and still have that be a positive for the team.
Yeah. You know, and he, I know him a little bit off the field. And he's a pretty good guy. And he's relatively quiet. But he, you know, he may be the type of guy that, you know, you need to get the ball to early in the game, just to keep them in the game or get them in the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He feels like he's just not even part of the offense.
Yeah, because he's really he's really the vertical guy, and in the 49ers type of offense, when you're playing out a shotgun like that, I don't see that big. To me, it's hard to get that big type of fake, like everybody's selling out, run, except for one receiver, you know, where he's running that big deep post, and you know, the other 10 guys are selling out, or 9 guys are selling out to fake a run, and you take a shot. I mean, they do it. They do seem to do it once in a while, but, you know, maybe not 2 or 3 times a game, but mainly because it just doesn't suit itself to, in my mind, it doesn't suit itself to the type of offense that they run.
What about the running game? Because, yeah, that always is going to set up the pass game. And at times it hasn't been bad. I mean, Carlos Hyde, actually, to me, he's a stud that is kind of being held back a little. You know what I mean? It just, I don't know that he has the holes to run through. What do you think so far?
It's to me, that offense is hard to run. And it's hard to run between the tackles with the way you're trying to do it in the NFL. I still believe and will always believe that you have to have a lead blocker. And I've, you know, said this to I've said it to a number of people. It just, you know, when you're standing in the shotgun and everything starts with, you know, especially for the quarterback, everything starts with a turn to your left or to your right to show a run, you know, or read option, or even a lot of times passes, you know, start that way. But it just it seems very hard to me. And when you don't have a great passing game, there can easily be, you know, six or seven guys in the box, depending on, you know, what your personnel grouping is.
As the San Francisco 49ers podcast with Joe Castellano and Steve Bono continues, there's more to tell you about as far as my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit TPC.com and click on special offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park. If they make this change to Kaepernick, what changes as far as, you know, the type of quarterback that Kaepernick was, let's say, was before? I mean, physically, we don't know what we're going to get, but just his style of being a quarterback compared to Blaine Gabbert, you know, what changes for this team?
I think Cap becomes the leading rusher. If he's the guy from 3 years ago.
So more design runs for him, you think?
Although
Gabbert has been running a lot too.
Yeah, he has been, and he's been doing fine. Yeah. But I don't think he will see the field as well as Blaine does. You know, even though on those, even though it seems to me like they cut the field in half a lot of times and are only reading, you know, one side depending on man or zone or three deep or two deep, you know, whatever it is. How does Cap make them better? Yeah, completing more passes, which I don't necessarily see happening. So it's, to me, him running the ball more.
So you would, I'm going to say flat out, I mean, you wouldn't make this change right now, would you?
No.
You probably wouldn't make it the rest of the season. You're trading Kaepernick, basically.
I'm still shocked that he's still here, I'm to be totally honest.
Right.
I just think he's a totally different person than he was a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, maybe even just a year ago.
But do you think Chip Kelly thought, okay, he could probably run my offense decently?
No question in my mind.
Yeah.
No question. And he probably still does. And that's, I mean, that's his prerogative. That's fine. And maybe he can, you know. But if this story that they've restructured his contract is true, then I would not be surprised to see him in there soon. You know, him either answered all the critics or not answered all the critics. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's
Well, maybe they need to figure this out one way or the other, right?
Maybe it has to happen. Exactly. Maybe it has to happen that they play him and yes, they can win with him, or no, they can't.
Do you think Christian Ponder would be a decent option down the road?
You know, I didn't I still haven't met him, but I saw him on the sideline either Thursday or last Sunday, and I was like, man, this is a pretty good sized guy. I mean, he's I don't know if he necessarily fits this offense, but my thought was, man, this dude's he's a pretty good looking dude. He we might be able to teach him to stand in the pocket and throw the ball well, which obviously he did in the preseason. I don't think he's as athletic as Blaine or Cap.
Do you think maybe we're all overrating? I mean, a lot of people in the media, fans, overrating the quarterback situation here with the 49ers in some respects. I mean, you have to have a great quarterback, but the reason why I'm saying that is that you see Sam Bradford just get plugged in Minnesota, and because they had a really good system there, yeah. He looks great. Or even I'm watching Tom Brady last week in the game that I covered in Cleveland, and yeah, it's the Browns, but he's got all kinds of protection. He's got all kinds of receivers. Yeah. And so, I mean, it's Tom Brady, but still, I mean, he's got a great system in place, yeah. And the 49ers right now just don't.
I completely agree. So I've been a Sam Bradford fan since he was at Oklahoma. And when is this guy going to break out? When's he going to break out? Just because I thought he was – his mechanics are phenomenal. The way he throws the ball. And I was like, when is this guy going to break out? And then when they traded him to Philly, whenever that was, last year or 2 years, whenever it was.
Yeah, it was a few years ago, yeah.
I was like, why? Why would you want to go play in Chip Kelly's system? I just didn't think it fit him.
Right.
I mean, and now look at him. Yeah, you got North Turner, who knows how to call plays. Very well. Has been around for a long time and knows the position. Sam Bradford's having a great year. But he's also got a really good team around him. Don't get me wrong.
He does.
They're really good. Their defense is terrific.
Well, that's part of it here. You know, remember when the Niners were getting to the Super Bowl, their defense was great. I mean, they were shutting everybody down.
And any of those years that we won a Super Bowl, that our defense was always ranked in the top five. You know.
Yeah.
And special teams were also in the top five. You got a really young defense, missing, just from 3 years ago, two seasons ago, the 2014 season. I mean, you're missing, a handful of all pros, which is just mind-boggling to think that you had a handful of all pros to begin with,
right?
On the same defense.
And they're gone.
And now they're all gone. So you've got you have a bunch of young guys who are trying to learn and develop in this league, and unfortunately the growing pains are really painful.
Yeah. No, I wanted to ask you, too, about just personally on teams that you played with when you were at the 49ers or Kansas City, especially when things were rolling, when you're doing well versus when, maybe you could say, is this me or is it the team? Is it the system? Does that go through your mind as a quarterback? Because you have to always have confidence.
Exactly. And it's what makes teams really good is, you got a lot of good players. You have a system in place, both offensively and defensively. You have a quarterback that can get the ball to receivers, that can control the game. You have, a coordinator on offense and defense that are calling good games, but, making them look like they're calling good games is having great players on the field and having a system in place, which is really the main two ingredients: the system, having a system in place, and having the players. And just the opposite is the case when you're losing, and I think you and I may have talked about this last week. I've mentioned it to a couple people I was sitting with at the game. Does not making plays make you a bad team, or is it a bad team that doesn't make plays?
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
and in, you know, in my mind, the good teams make the plays. It's just and the bad teams don't. You know, and that's what makes your record bad. You know, is there a whole lot of difference in talent between the 49ers at 1-4, and the Minnesota Vikings at, what are they, 4-0 now?
5-0.
There's not a whole lot of difference in talent, but it comes down to what you said earlier. It's having a system in place and having confidence that you're going to do your job and your teammates are going to do their jobs.
Yeah. And now you go, I mean, on the one hand, you've got rest because you played a Thursday night game, rest mm-hmm. before you go to Buffalo. But on the other hand, you're playing a Buffalo team that's got a lot of confidence with Rex Ryan now because they beat the Patriots. They shut them out 16-0. They went to L.A. and won.
They got
Shady McCoy, who's, you know, really doing a great job running the ball. And they fired their offensive coordinator, the former Niners offensive coordinator, Greg Roman. I don't know if that helped or not, but you know, apparently they're just on a roll right now. And in Buffalo is never easy on the road.
No, and that the whole Greg Roman thing was like, okay, you didn't like his offense in week two, so you let him go. Well, offense isn't going to change that much for the rest of the season. Just somebody different calling plays, but which can make a difference.
The defense was struggling for Buffalo, and he didn't fire his brother.
I know.
It'd be kind of hard to have Thanksgiving dinner after you fire your brother.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. that's not an easy road trip. I don't care how good you are. Like you said, the Niners, they got some rest, a little extra rest this week after the Thursday game, which they needed. Hopefully have a good week of practice. And then, you know, go there on Friday afternoon. But still not a, you know, won't be ridiculously cold.
Not yet.
But, not an easy place to go and play, honestly.
No, great crowd.
Yeah, not at all. So, you know, they obviously they have their work cut out for them, and just hope that they can go there and shut down the run defensively and possess the ball a little bit more offensively and try and control the game a little bit more.
All right, well, we'll see which quarterback we're talking about after that game next week when we get together. Steve, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Okay.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Join us again next Tuesday. We'll talk about the Niners game in Buffalo. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.